Ladies and gentlemen, step right up. Let's go see the elephant. When I'm a road.
Welcome to the show, ladies and gentlemen. That's right, you are listening to the American Adversaries. It is Drive Time Prime Time, and we are on FM 105.5 and AM 660. The Answer, coming to you live from the Mercury Free Broadcasting Studios. And please do not forget, as you're running down the road out yonder, for the very best in mercury-free dental care, call my dentist, Dr. James E. Hardy, at 407-678-3399. He is also, of course, the author of an excellent book called Mercury Free, which explains to you why you should be, like I am now, mercury free. All right, got another big show lined up for you today. I am Christopher Hart, and the studio with me again is the chairman of the board, Michael McBath. Got his invitation to the Super Bowl today and all the potties and everything. He's going to be strutting. And
my only disappointment I have, it's in a sanctuary city, San Francisco.
Yeah, but you're going to.
Which I will express myself. We actually have a party with the weirdo mayor.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't know if our philosophies are going to match very well.
Just stay away from them white lions on the table, right?
I thought you were going to say something else, but you're not kidding.
I wouldn't drink the water either. All right, Nicholas Cicero is on the bridge. You can be a part of the show by simply picking up your phone and calling us at 407-774-8255. Got a lot to talk about today. We got some new poll numbers out, not just poll numbers in terms of the candidates themselves, but other interesting poll numbers to go along with them. We'll get to that. We'll talk a little bit about Gitmo. I've been telling you folks for quite some time now, and it's quite obvious now, that Barack Obama is going to close Gitmo. There's just no question about it. The only question is, how is he going to do it? And we see it happening, in fact, right in front of our faces. Old Sam Jackson is out there speaking his mind, so we're going to speak our mind about what he said. And speaking of what people said, we're going to Town Hall has put out a list of the top, I believe, is 25 quotes of the year, and we're going to go through a few of those and see what if you guys agree with some of these quotes. That'll be a little bit later on in the show. Speaking of shows,
any of our quotes in there?
Well,
in the town hall, are they listening to us, Chris?
Well,
or our contestants, I could see them being in there.
Let's just say you might recognize one of the people.
Good.
All right. That's all I'm going to say.
I like
it. Ain't me.
All right.
But y'all might recognize this individual.
I like it.
And so that's one reason why we're going to go through those quotes. And speaking of shows, the Dog and Pony Show, I'm calling it, it was going on in New Hampshire today, and the dog and the pony, the dog is Trey Gowdy, and the pony is Marco Rubio, who I'm torn between, I like to give nicknames. I'm torn between calling him a pony and an elf because those ears. I'm sorry. But, Obama has the big old ears that stick out like a...
Yeah, but like Alfred E. Newman is what you're trying to say.
Exactly.
Right. Alfred E.
But Marco has big ears, too, if you've not noticed. But they're more like an elf's, right?
But see, Klingon-like.
Not Klingon,
looking,
I mean Vulcan-like. Indeed, he's got
a he's much better looking than Alfred E.
But they're up there, and the Rubio campaign is touting that Trey Gowdy is endorsing Marco Rubio. Trey is trying to be a little more coy.
He says he's not.
He's trying to be coy about it. He said, I'm going to vote for him, but he won't come out and say that he, quote unquote, endorses him. I mean, come on. This is what makes Trump popular. Yep. You know, this kind of, you know, trying to toe the line, trying to have your cake and eat it too. Oh, I'm going to vote for him, but I'm not endorsing him. Mm-hmm. Well, then what are you doing up there in New Hampshire going around talking about him? I mean, come on. Yep. Yeah, be honest. That's all we're asking. Is that a little bit too much to ask, even of Republicans?
I'm surprised he held the line after Trump worked him over the other day. You know, I'm surprised he said, well, you know what? I am endorsing him.
Well, if he keeps, you know, doing this, you know, two-step here, right. Trump will slam him on that. But rightfully,
Chris, he's a lawyer. You're forgetting that.
That's why
we mesh
him the dog.
Our words don't mean what they say. Well, look at Clinton. I lie through the right side of my mouth.
Well, he was a prosecutor, though. Prosecutors are supposed to be better than that. So
I didn't do a very good job recently.
Well, that's why I'm calling him the dog, though, because he was a prosecutor. And
he just needs a new style haircut. That's all.
But people around the country are beginning to notice what we down here in Florida have noticed, and that is that Marco shows up when he wants, and he doesn't show up all the time if he doesn't want to be there. In other words, he's not. Let's just put it this way.
Lame duck, Chris. He's not coming back,
though. He's not putting his heart and soul into this. You know, Trump is out there all the time. All the time making speeches.
I know.
Calling the shows, you know, being out there.
You've got to give Trump an A+. I mean, for effort alone,
exactly.
Relative to all the other people running, who is working harder than this fella?
Nobody.
And he's going to reap the rewards, too, I can tell you that.
And by the way, he's doing more than just that. He is working behind the scenes, too. Yesterday I mentioned this, and I didn't have the names, but he's hired some pretty high-profile people here in the state of Florida. For his state team, the co-chairs are Joe Gruters. Now, he's the vice chairman of the state GOP. And the chairman of the Sarasota County Republican Party. And he's also hired Susie Wiles, who was Governor Rick Scott's 2010 campaign manager. And another fellow by the name of Giorno, he's the Florida campaign director. He worked in the Scott administration and has been involved with almost every Republican presidential campaign in the last 25 years. I'm reading this from the Orlando Sentinel. And so he's hired some pretty high-profile people. And in particular, I'm particularly intrigued by Susie Wiles, 2010 campaign manager for Governor Rick Scott, because it occurred to me that Governor Rick Scott and Donald Trump have something in common. And no, of course, it's not their haircut.
No.
What do they have in common?
Business people.
And never before elected to an office. And Rick Scott, lo and behold, governor, first time.
Right, very good.
So that kind of shows that you can't count these people out.
Chris.
And Trump is doing a lot behind the scenes that's going to make a difference in the end.
I believe it's going to be a landslide for Trump in the state of Florida, which is going to be very embarrassing to particularly Bush. You know, I mean, Rubio won't be too embarrassed, but Bush is going to be totally embarrassed by this.
It will be, but it'll be a big embarrassment, actually. Yeah, probably more so for Bush, but definitely for both of them.
In particular, because
Florida is a winner-take-all state.
That's what I'm getting across. So, I think the only way Bush could salvage his whole program is to join our show. That'll assure him he comes in last place.
So, well, this will probably be the end of our listenership, too.
Mr. Rogers.
Yeah, I tell you what, but he is, and he's out there. You know, his theme has now become Trump is the chaos candidate, and he'll be the chaos president.
I think I would just lay off Trump and just keep telling my story. Not that it's a very good story.
If he wants to look like he's serious about this, he would be selling his message and going after Hillary.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Right.
You know, he would elevate himself by going after Hillary. In a way, he's just bringing himself down by going after Trump, especially because there's no way he can go toe-to-toe with Trump. There's no way. Mm-hmm. And by the way, I don't believe the Clintons can go toe-to-toe with Trump either.
No, I don't believe that at all,
boy. He's baiting them. He's inviting them. And we'll see how. Now, Bill's a little bit more wily and a little bit more sly and a little bit more careful with the words than Hillary.
Yeah,
he's not going to go around, you know, saying that Trump is the, how did she put it, the had a penchant for sexism. You're not going to hear stuff like that out of old Bill's mouth. He's a little bit smarter than that. He knows that in both, he is both Hillary's biggest asset and her biggest liability,
right,
at the same time. And they want to stay away from the liability part.
But you know what, Chris, when you think about that, really, Hillary literally wrote the book on terrorizing women. I mean, you know, you think of Broderick, you think of Wiley or Willie, and then you Jennifer Flowers and many
Paula
more.
Jones.
Yeah, look at the people that Hillary terrorized, and guess what they had in common? Well, they had two things, but primarily
Bill.
Yeah, they were involved with Bill, and guess who the terrorizer was? Oh, that's right. She's a woman. She'll stand up for all women, except any of them that get in her way.
Yeah.
You know, and do you think any of these women care about Hillary? We should try to get a couple of these on the show. It'd be great to see the dark side, you know, so maybe we can.
We'll try. By the way, there's an author out, Roger Stone, with a book called The Clinton's War on Women, where he catalogs and documents all of these women and some we've never even heard of, and I'm going through it. I picked up a copy here recently, so when I familiarize myself a little bit more with it, we'll talk a little bit more in depth about these women. But yeah, we should try to get some of them on the show.
I put up Roger Stone
as well.
On the internet, I just put up one time just to see a curiosity. I just put up, Bill Clinton, and I wrote rape right beside it. And guess what? There were so many names up here, I couldn't even go to the end of the sentence.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, oh, yeah, he's a real cool guy. Yeah.
You know, and it's a sobering thought.
It's a horrifying thought.
Yeah.
Before you even say it, but I know it's coming.
Is, but it's a sobering thought that perhaps now we can begin to understand why the Islamic State can use him as an effective recruiting tool, right? They're Puritans. They're Puritanistic.
Oh, right.
Well, what I mean by that is, you know, that sort of behavior is forbidden. And when not only he does it, but that he conducts it in the Capitol and in the White House, the ultimate position of our government, to them it says a whole lot about the rest of us, right?
I don't know if there's too many people like him.
Well, but the problem is that's... It's all about perception.
He was America.
It's all about perception. Yeah. And this is the important point, and once again, as we elect a president, is that person is going to represent us. Now, a lot of people say, well, that's why we shouldn't elect Trump. That's why we should elect Trump or Cruz.
I mean, Chris,
because they will project that true American leadership that we haven't seen for quite some time.
If Bill is coming down to Florida, let's say, maybe to Orlando, right, to talk a little bit about the campaign and everything, now would you go out and listen to him?
Oh, sure.
I would probably get a bunch of my friends, and these are all guys, they have graduate degrees and everything. We'd probably come in there smoking cigars, you know, just to show them what disrespect we have for a pig like that. You know, I mean,
watch out, he'd probably come over there.
Impeached!
He'd probably come over there and ask you for one.
I mean, how can anybody show any respect to one of the worst politicians in the history of the nation?
Listen, I saw, actually, when Bill and Gore were first running for president, I was a HW fan, and but a buddy of mine was a big Clinton fan, and he wanted to go see Clinton. I said, well, I'll go with you, because nobody would go with him.
Mm-hmm.
And he and Gore and Hillary and Chipper were all together doing a bus tour, and they were speaking at Lock Haven Park.
Mm-hmm.
And so we went down there, and there was a big crowd, probably 10,000 people. Mm-hmm. And sure enough, here they finally, we're standing in the back of the crowd, bought some buttons, you know, some campaign buttons. And so we're standing back of the crowd, and we see where the buses park, and I see them walk down this walkway, and they were shaking hands along the way, and they finally make it over to the stage area. The Gore speak first, then the Clintons speak. Right. And so I go to my buddy. I said, hey, I said, I've been to many of these. My dad took me to stuff like this when I was, you know, barely old enough to talk. So I've been to plenty of these events. I knew how they work. So I said, we'll work our way over here. I bet I can get him to come over and shake your hand. So we went around and stood where the back of the bus was, and there was a little group of people there as close as they could get to where they were going to come. And sure enough, here they come walking, and they're shaking hands all along the way. And my buddy's going, oh, come on, let's go. I was going, oh, man, he's going to come up. I guarantee you I'll get him to come over here. And so they finally come up to the bus, and there's about 20 of us all standing there in this little crowd. And I go, come on, everybody, let's shout his name. I bet he'll come over. So we all start shouting, Bill, Bill, Bill. And I'm in the middle of them going, Willie, Willie. Sure enough, he comes over and starts shaking everybody's hand. And I'm in the middle of the crowd going, Willie, Willie. Mm-hmm. I was the only person he didn't shake their hand. Yeah, because Willie is Slick Willie. See?
Well,
afterwards, my buddy goes, you probably shouldn't have said that.
I said, I got
him to come over, didn't I?
I'm going to buy one of those mini cigars, and you can put it in your hand, and when he comes over, you shake hand, you know how you pass it off to the person?
He'll think it's a joy. He'll think it's a joy to go, cool, man.
Yeah.
All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we got some very interesting poll numbers we'll be talking about. And we got to talk about our contest coming up Thursday. That's right. I've got me one. I got me a resolution for Hillary.
Loser. I'm a loser. And I'm not what I appear to be. Of all the love I have.
Oh, that's right. This is one of our little odes to Hillary out there, the loser that she is. Yeah, so we got some very interesting poll numbers out. Before we get to those, we got Brad on the line. You can be a part of the show, too, at 407-774-8255. Brad, thank you for calling tonight.
Oh, hey, guys. How's it going?
All right, Brad.
I was obviously going to call about the recent happenings in Chicago and Cleveland, but I did want to just mention what you guys were just talking about. Donald Trump definitely has records and all these things going back to 1979 on Bill Clinton with all these alleged sexual harassments. I mean, we're talking about a good group of women here. And so if Hillary does choose to go that war on women route, everyone's saying, oh, that's not going to be the Democrats say, oh, that won't work. Yeah, it will work because she attacked the victims. That is disgusting. Each and every time she actually went on the offensive against women that were claiming sexual harassment.
Yeah, Brad, you make an excellent point here that seems to be lost on most of the people in the media because they depict her sort of as the victim, the one who stood by her man, and all that sort of thing. No, she's the one who did the dirty work. He had the fun, and she did the dirty work, because you're absolutely right. She is the one who had the bimbo squad.
Hey, Brad, imagine all these women lined up as an ad. You know, you have Willie, all of them lined up.
Show their faces.
Yeah, show their faces, show their testimony, then have Hillary's statements and stuff. That would just set it on fire. They got to be nuts to engage Trump in anything
like that.
Just step away. That's not your area. You're going to get crushed, you know?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Hopefully they will.
Yeah. But you did say that you were calling about the situation in Cleveland.
Yes, I have a theory about this, too. Maybe you guys can help me. Basically, these are all democratically controlled cities. We know that.
We know that.
But when they're playing this war on the police, we, all mainstream Americans, know that there are some corrupt police officers, but the overwhelming majority are good men and women that have families of their own that are being under siege.
Without a doubt.
And the majority that we call, let's stop using the word criminals and thugs, let's call them what they are. These are predators who prey on society. And the more we take this serious, the more we can take back the conversation away from the very small minority majority of corrupt cops and on the overwhelming predators on society in all these democratically controlled cities. That is, I think, of the biggest importance here.
The other thing, Brad, is the media keeps twisting the story. It's just like in Baltimore, right? If you go back and look at the majority of these cities, look at the fact that, you know, these situations of cop killings and everything, 90% of them occur from a crime either being committed or about to be committed, and that's where it originates. It's like the seed that produces the big oak. Well, guess what? You know, you people got to correct crime in your own neighborhood, meaning in the ghetto. You blacks need to take care of your blacks. Once you get this under control, you're going to eliminate 90% of these shootings right off the bat. So,
you know, I mentioned this last night, but oddly enough, that's part of, certainly not the entire message,
not
but
all.
Part of the message of Spike Lee's new movie, Chi-Raq. Where he talks about, you know, the amount of killing that goes on in
right.
these cities rivals what we see on TV going on in Iraq. That's why he's saying Chicago and Iraq, Chi-Raq. And he's saying, look, you know, Black Lives Matter and all you people out there blaming everything on the police. That's a small part of the problem. The big part of the problem is in the inner cities, and then he ends up blaming it on guns, but at least he's refocusing where really a lot of the attention needs to be. Now, he can come to his own conclusion, but he's focusing at least on the right place, and that is that most of the murders are not involved with the police at all.
Right.
They're the ones there cleaning up the mess.
He could change the title. Chai crack a rat.
And by the way, he does address that in a little bit in the movie mm-hmm. too. So, but yeah, you're right, Brad. These are democratically run enclaves, and then of course their solutions are more liberal solutions. So, all right, thank you for calling. We appreciate you being out there. But he definitely made a good point also with the Hillary thing, and this is the focus of Roger Stone's book, The Clinton's War on Women, is that Bill was out there cavorting around and having a grand old time, like he's still doing.
Mm-hmm.
And she was the enforcer, shall we say.
But Chris, also, you know the laws on women in the workplace? Did any of these women work with him? Uh-huh.
Well,
any of them volunteers? Uh-huh. Would he have been fired from any major corporation if he did what he did?
Well,
probably.
Well, when you're a governor of the state.
I understand, but I'm just saying again.
People either get their silence bought or they get permanently silenced.
Right.
It creates a bit of an intimidating factor. So, I'd love to see the Clintons try to mess around with that.
Oh, I know. I think it'll be just great.
But the thing is, I don't believe any of the Republicans could get away with doing what Trump would do. You know, they would be considered
be
that. What was that guy's name? Rick Lazio or whoever he was who had debated her in the Senate when
mm-hmm.
he dared to approach her podium and put a piece of paper down in front
of
her.
Please.
Oh, that was a violation. Oh, mm-hmm. he raped her space or something.
Oh,
I mean,
God,
give me a break.
Safe space.
Yeah, that would be the hands off of the, you know, the politeness crowd. You know, they would attack her on Benghazi and stuff, but they would never go where Trump. Trump will go where you want to take the fight.
Yeah,
he'll
let's go
with you.
Yep,
it's
rumble.
Like the old saloon brawl, baby. You want to get into
it? Let's get it on, brother.
I'll get into it. All right, and we'll get into this break and come back on the other side, and we'll get into some poll numbers, and we'll get into our contest rules as well. And I got a resolution for Hillary I think you'll like and understand.
Oh, hey, folks, I'm WWE Hall of Famer Hacksaw Jim Duggan. And if you really want to find out what's going on in America, check out the American Adversaries. Tough guy.
Oh. All right, welcome back to the show, folks. That's right, you got the American Adversaries. It's kickoff time.
Chris, we may have to get Hacksaw in to referee this bout between Trump, right? And Bill. And I know Hacksaw, I know what side he'd take, you know.
Oh, yeah.
He likes the hot women, so he's going to run with Bill.
No, but he's conservative, so he'll run with Trump.
He's going to run with Bill. Bill will take them all.
That's right.
He's greedy pig.
All right, that is.
He'll let him have Hillary.
And that is Aubrey Kahn.
Oh, then Hacksaw would commit suicide.
Yeah, there you go. That's Aubrey Kahn. That's Mike McBath. I'm Christopher Hart. Nick LoCicero is on the bridge. 407-774-8255 is the number. The American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show is the act. FM 105.5 and AM 660. The Answer is the venue. So hopefully you'll stay with us. If you're watching the game on TV, you can watch it and just turn your sound down.
Yeah.
Listen to us.
One of those wristwatches that you can get or anything,
you know? Yeah, yeah. But, the Russell Athletic Bowl is now underway downtown at the Citrus Bowl. And, of course, the Citrus Bowl itself will be New Year's Day. We will be here New Year's Eve. We won't be here New Year's Day, but New Year's Eve being Thursday, we'll be doing another one of our contests. Should we get the contest rules now and do the poll numbers first?
Let's do the contest rules.
All right. You know, I got one here, too.
So. Yeah. You're ready today. He wasn't prepared yesterday, but the contest is very simple. It's New Year's. Everybody makes resolutions. Hopefully everybody tries to keep them or keep them. But what we're going to do is let our listeners make a resolution for somebody else, you know, be it an actor, a politician, an immigrant, anybody.
Right.
Now, I'm going to give a couple examples to help you sort of map your plan out, because there's huge prizes if you win, and we'll have some outside judge try to make the decision most likely.
Okay.
Now, the first one I'm going to make a resolution for, and I know many of our listeners know who the poverty pimp is, Al Sharpton, right?
Yep.
Now, let's think what his resolution might be. Al's head, as you know, seems to be bigger than the rest of his body. So I wonder if he's thinking about a diet, but let's think about his resolution. I have Al Sharpton's resolution is to get a crew cut so his head does not look like a pumpkin on top of a pin. He also plans to leave his $4.5 million tax debt to the inner city blacks of Chicago. What an honorable resolution for the new year.
But, you know, one other thing that he should think of doing is opening up the valve and letting some of the hot air out of his head.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe it'll shrink to size.
Mm-hmm. Now, Chris, one more I have, and then you do yours. One on a girlfriend. Maybe, possibly, Bill may have had a twist with her. I don't know.
Oh,
but,
yes.
Mine is also, and I'm going to be, it's Rosie O'Donnell, one of our favorites. And it says, Rosie O'Donnell. And my resolution is to stop being a big fat slob and lose 150 pounds. I also hope to get a brain transplant and get a sex change to convert me back to a woman. Oh, I like these sound effects, you know what I mean? Now let's go, Chris. I want to hear yours because I've been waiting 2 days.
All right, I got one for Hillary here, right?
Yep, go ahead. That's now, three different people.
Yeah, now you know she's always sporting about in those pantsuits and everything, and one of the criticisms that she's getting is she hasn't been showing any of her feminine side.
Does she have one?
Well.
What side would that be, right or left?
Backside.
Well, okay. So her resolution will be to show more of her feminine side, the side that Huma Abedin sees on a regular basis. So that is going to involve her shucking the pantsuits for...
A miniskirt?
No, well, close. Red leather hot pants and thigh-high spike-heeled leather boots, an SS helmet, black leather vest and gloves with spikes on the knuckles. Yep. Now, this will conjure images of victimhood. People will feel sorry for anybody that votes for such a person, and they'll especially feel sorry for Bill Clinton.
But you know what, Chris? Somebody dressed that kinky with draw bill.
Yeah, I was just gonna say.
I mean, he's trying to reheat this whole thing up again. You know,
he might stay home.
That's the way she dresses for Huma. Don't you see?
But now, who is Huma married to?
Anthony's wiener.
Yeah.
Well, that's why you know she hangs out with Hillary so much.
Did you hear what he said? Just. Recently?
What?
He said, Hillary Clinton is amazing. I cannot remember a more qualified candidate for president.
That's what you call kissing up. All right, so that's the idea, folks. I know you all talk.
That was really a kinky description. How did you think of that one? I'm starting to wonder about
He's got too much time on his hands.
Yeah. Nurse Cratchit, right?
That scares me a little bit. You know, hot beer and cold women.
I left out the whips and chains. I mean, I cleaned it up a little.
Mm-hmm. Wow. All right.
I know, we got Mike on the line. Thank you, Mike. You're up next. Thank you for calling.
Hey guys, hey Chris, you're a great wordsmith, and I love how you used radio as pictures. You know, a theater of the mind. But to be honest with you, I almost hurled when you were talking about what Huma gets to see on a regular basis or how she sees Hillary. So, but anyway, she's got to motivate Bill, right? So we need to send her a letter and say, he's really fond of blue dresses. So, you know, maybe that could help.
Somehow incorporate that into your resolution.
No, that wouldn't work. I like the idea, to motivate Bill anyway, right?
But, Mike, you know, if that had to happen, her resume might be stained.
Well, that's true, Aubrey. But I was going to tell Mike when he tries to slip Bill a cigar. And, Bill's going to respond with, "Who's your humidor?" you're going to be at a loss of words. So
I always plan ahead. Bill Clinton missed his opportunity. He could have his own line of cigars. They'd be called the Clintons, right? And then you'd have the different ones. You'd have the Monicas. And you'd have, like, the Hillaries and the Monicas. They'd be them big old fat round ones, you know, the big old fat long ones. And the Hillaries would be them little skinny ones like Clint Eastwood used to smoke. And you have to keep those on ice.
I would have thought Hillaries would be short and squat.
Well, that's what I meant. You got to keep them on ice. All right. Thank you, Mike, for the call. We appreciate you being out there.
Chris, I'm still thinking of that image. He talked about wordsmith, but I'm thinking of Al Sharpton in a crew cut. Would that be cool? A flat top, you know, like the military guys? Turn the nation on, man.
I bet he'd be a lot better looking than that old goofy-looking perm he wears, I tell you what.
Isn't that beautiful? Every time I see him with that, I roll on the ground. It looks like his head's going to tip him over he's walking.
I often wonder if you were to walk in his bedroom at night, if you would see that thing hanging on the bed rail or something like that.
You might be right. You know, hairpiece by Eduardo.
I don't know.
I've got to give him one thing, though.
What's that?
How he's been able to not pay the $4+ million he owes the IRS. I tell you what, he could do classes on that, and they would be full.
I can say Lois Lerner and Barack Obama. That should give you a hint. I tell you what,
African American.
If Cruz, they're not going to give you those breaks, so you hang out with the wrong people. We know who you hang out with. If Cruz or Trumps get elected, you can expect the IRS will come a calling on Al boy there.
Well, I tell you what, I took my checkbook to a different bank today.
Yeah.
And I used that to get money orders.
So you can send it to the IRS.
So I could send it to the IRS. They said, darling hearts.
I send them rolls of pennies. They love that. All right, let's go next to Bob. Bob, you are up next. Thank you for calling tonight.
Hi, how you guys doing?
All right, Bob,
thank you for calling.
I know Mike from past baseball experience.
I'm sad to hear that.
That wasn't very good.
He wasn't the one playing.
No,
I can just imagine. Well, I'm glad you called the show. You'll have to come have dinner with us.
Hey, I had an idea for a great road tour, and you could... you could have a road tour that would go through the colleges, and you could say we're going to have a discussion of rape and
a frank discussion on
crimes, and I bet you'd have a packed house,
of course.
And then so you have the first woman walks out and she goes to the microphone and she says, "I was molested by Bill Cosby." Then she stands to the side. Next one walks up, says, "I was molested by Bill Clinton." She goes to the side. Next one comes up, I was raped by Bill Cosby. She walks away. And you just have a whole parade.
Yeah.
That could be a good ad, Bob.
It ties them together and makes them think that, you know, gee,
yeah,
Bill Cosby is now reviled for everything he did.
Yeah. And you know what?
Clinton seems to be the same.
Yeah. And here's what would happen. And this is why it's ingenious. Of course, you'd only get away with it once, and then the word would get out on the grapevine. But the crowd, as soon as the woman, or you could have even several come out and say the same thing, I was violated, I was raped, or whatever, by Bill Cosby, the crowd would be all adoring and applause and cheers and tears and, oh, these are such great women. And then you hit them with the Bill Clinton ones.
Yeah.
And then they're suddenly caught. You see, they're caught. And
right.
then they're going to be their tears and their things will go to outrage, but you will have caught them, and you will have made an impact on them without them realizing what has happened. I like that.
He needs to save that bazooka shot for late.
Right, late in the
October
fall.
Surprise.
Yeah, knock them out.
Yeah.
Bob, you need to enter the contest because you have a sick mind. You know what I mean?
Just the kind of mind that wins.
Nowhere near as sick as the host.
Well,
you guys have a good time.
Okay.
Bob, thanks for
calling.
We appreciate you being out there. He's got a good point, though. Mm-hmm. All right, so that's what we're looking for in our contest. All right, let's see. We got some poll numbers out, real interesting ones. Real quickly, let me give you the standard poll. This is the New Hampshire poll. This is Real Clear Politics. This is the Republican field. Right now, once again, Trump is comfortably in the lead in New Hampshire, and he really has maintained this percentage pretty much from the start. 26% is what he's showing in the polls now, and he's been hovering right pretty close to that in New Hampshire from the start. What's been going on behind him has been, you know, a reshuffle almost every time. In this Real Clear Politics poll just out, Trump comes in 26, then you drop down to 12, and you find that at Marco Rubio, and then you have Ted Cruz and Chris Christie tied at 11, and Kasich coming up behind them at 8. But that's just in New Hampshire.
Right.
And then you go to other polls in other states, and they're it's pretty much the same players. Carson's more involved. He's not involved in this poll. But nonetheless, it's still Trump way ahead, and the rest of the field just sort of jockeying around behind him.
Well, you know, it's a thought that you don't see him bring out too much, meaning the poll people. How many people in Iowa are black? How many people in New Hampshire are black?
That's not very many.
I'm talking like 1% to 2%, I would bet.
It's pretty low.
And, you know, I don't want to use this word. That sort of changes the complexion of the poll.
It does.
But, I mean, think about that. That's a factor not missing.
And that's a factor not being incorporated into any of these these Republican polls as well. But some polls indicate if you go outside the Republican Party that Donald Trump's support is broader than most. As a matter of fact...
We're starting to see that, right,
yeah,
Chris?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, in the latest head-to-head between Trump and Hillary Clinton. Now, these were polls that were being cited as why, oh, only Marco Rubio can beat Hillary Clinton, and the polls clearly show this. Well, up to now, Marco Rubio has been one of the ones who's shown pretty good against Hillary Clinton. Trump has always showed pretty good. Today, he's showing even better.
Mm-hmm.
You got those numbers.
Yeah, right here. This, I think, is pretty exciting for Trump fans, because wait till he gets her in the ring, right? 37% Rasmussen for Clinton, 36% for Trump. I think there was a 3% there margin.
The rest are undecided.
Right. And CNN poll, it was virtually the same thing, a tie.
Right.
So, I mean, what really has happened, the media's perceived detours for accepted political discourse. They're wrong.
Well, either
the media lost in this one.
Yeah, it shows us one of two things, or maybe both, and that is that the media once again has been underestimating him, and
right.
Two, he's moving up, even nationally speaking.
Right.
And this is in spite of all of the outrageous things.
I know. It's amazing how you hear them. Every station you turn to, the media tries to bash them. But I guess it's so obvious that you're so turned off by the media, it's just driving them higher and higher.
Well, the media's pulling for Hillary Clinton.
Oh, we know that.
And so they're going to try and bring him down, and it never works.
Well, they're up against a different animal this time.
Animal is right.
And that's why I call him Moby Dick. You know, he's not... your typical politician. He's not going to play politely. If that's not obvious by now, you haven't been paying attention. And he's doing that on purpose. He's doing that because he intends to win. And in politics, you don't often win by playing polite. You can ask Mitt Romney about that. Okay?
You can ask John McCain.
You can ask McCain. Oh, yeah. No, Barack Obama, he really loves, he's a great family man. He loves America. This is what he was going around saying in town hall meetings. That's why he got thrashed. In politics, if the other side plays rough, you better be prepared to play rougher. Or they're going to send you home a whipped puppy.
Exactly.
And this fella don't intend to go home a whipped puppy. So everybody's in for a whole new game. There's a whole new game in town now. And it's called Trump. And it's going to be fun to watch. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, we have Rick on the line. You can join us as well at 407-774-8255. Get those resolutions together. You stand a chance to win a $20 gift certificate to Cafe Positano. Compliments of Jerry and Janice Shepherd of Jerry's MB, jerrysmb.com. And a roll compliments of Mike McBath of Barack Obama TP.
That's exactly right, and his face will be right on it. So, you know, his face
I still say it's going to give you a rash, man.
No, it's going to be an ugly ending for his face.
We'll be right back.
Oh, yes, I'm the great pretender.
Pretending that you're still around. I'll change the words. To be what I'm not. Clinton is nothing but a little snot. Pretending that all the American voters are here.
All right.
All right, Chris. Let's get to business, buddy.
All right. That is Mike McBath, and you can be a part of the show. We got Rick on the line. Rick, thank you for holding. Appreciate you being out there.
Evening, guys. I guess you haven't heard.
What?
Pataki's pulled out.
Oh, no.
Oh, my God.
And he was so close to victory.
There was this gigantic shift in the force, and as three people went.
I was going to say, I wonder who's going to get all of his voters.
Wow. Yeah.
They're fighting for both of his voters now.
Did he cite a reason?
I haven't read that far into it yet. But,
okay.
He was calling both of his supporters to thank them.
Both of his supporters, right. They had a good evening out. They had a few shooters.
Well, it's the day of reckoning is obviously approaching quicker and quicker. The next debate is in, I think, just a little over 2 weeks. And the voting starts in just a little over a month. So anybody that's not, you know, really in this thing and have something to go forward with is going to be falling by the wayside.
Paul said he's dropping out, though, if he doesn't get on the main stage.
Rand Paul said that he will not participate in the lower
undercard. There's not going to be a lower tier.
I believe that's right.
There isn't? That's even better.
Yeah, Fox is doing Fox
Top
News.
Six. And that's it.
Yeah. Good. Yep. And it's going to be the...
You play with the big dogs or you don't show. That's
right.
Good.
Hey, like Mike, it. As far as your prize, that I consider that a waste of paper.
What do you think I gave it to the station?
Thanks, guys.
All right. Thanks for the news. All right. So George Pataki's out. Not that that makes a
How
big difference.
How could we have missed that, though, Chris? Must have been announced.
I think he just announced it. Yeah, because I didn't see it on anything before it came on.
People upset about this, you know.
Yeah. Well, at least he won't be there to make the rest of the candidates look so small. That guy, he's about as tall as you,
he's
or taller.
6'4".
Yeah. He's a tall fella. And in a way, it's a shame because in another day or time, you know, his message might have resonated, but not in this day and time. And he was. He was in it.
I think looking for a job interview.
Just on a lamb. Because obviously there was never any real serious potential there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let's see. How much time we got in this segment here? All right. We got 4 minutes in this segment. Let's see. We have time to go through some of these quotes. Let's go through All right. Town Hall magazine puts out a list of the 20 best quotes of 2015. And these come from various sources, many of them media sources, some of them not, some of them political sources. Like the 20th best quote of 2015 was by a fellow by the name of Mark Stein, who you oftentimes hear on Fox and right. Hannity, and he mm-hmm. sits in for the big old L. Rush Fuzzbo. And his quote was, "The shrill little twerps shrieking, 'You can't say that,' are a far bigger problem than the stuff they object to." And he was talking about people, you know, who are like the college people, you know, who are too sensitive about things. I'm not going to go through all of them, but I'll go through a few of them here. Senator Tom Cotton said this. He said, this is number 18, "President Obama is a wartime president who doesn't seem to realize it." All right, and here's one by Thomas Sowell. Everybody knows Thomas Sowell. This is the PhD, brilliant fella, professor at Stanford, writes brilliant articles. His, by the way, his doctoral thesis is a book on cultures, racial cultures, and how they assimilated mm-hmm. in here in the United States. It's very, very enlightening. He comes in at 16 with, "Many Americans who say that we should learn from other people, especially Europeans, mean that we should imitate what they did. That may make those who talk this way feel superior to other Americans. But let us never forget that the most disastrous ideologies of the 20th century, communism, fascism, and Nazism, all originated in Europe. So did both world wars." All right. And then you got this at number 11. "Conservatives say you can be somebody. Liberals say you should hate somebody. The latter mentality is exactly what we've seen play out in Ferguson and Baltimore."
You know, Chris, I actually like that one the best of so far.
You know who said that?
Who?
Well, if this were a Sunday night, we'd be playing our Who Said That contest where people could call in and tell mm-hmm. us who said it and win a prize. Aubrey knows who said it. Do you want to have the honor of telling everyone, or shall I?
You can do it. He's a fellow... A frickin' American.
That's right. Our frickin' American friend, Fox 35 political analyst and radio talk show host, Carl Jackson.
That's congratulations. How about that? I did not know that, and I like that better than any of you read.
He was styling and profiling this morning on Fox, by the way. I love his. This guy, he dresses nice now.
Yeah.
He'd make any NFL team proud. Mm-hmm. And Carl Jackson came in at number 11, only two behind this fella, who said, "Am I morally obligated to defend the president every time somebody says something bad or controversial about him? I don't think so. If someone made a nasty or controversial statement about me to the president, do you think he would come to my rescue? No chance." That was at number 9. Guess who said that? Donald Trump.
And that was just recently, relatively.
Yeah. Right, that's, yeah. There's our man Carl Jackson hanging out with some pretty high-priced talent, ain't
he? Stand by your man.
Congratulations, Carl Jackson. By the way, Ted Cruz came in at number 4 with a long one. Number 1 was, "We are not a nation of immigrants. We are a nation of citizens."
Maybe we give Carl.
Mark Levin said that.
We give Carl the toilet paper.
Your supply.
Congratulations to Carl Jackson, the CarlJacksonShow.com, Carl Jackson Show on Facebook. We'll be right back with more of the American Adversaries Prime Time Radio Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, sit up. Let's go see the elephant. When I'm a road.
time for hour number two of the American Address. I just can't do it like Steve Tyler. I'm sorry.
You're number two.
Hour number two.
You're on Mike's number two.
New American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show coming to you live on FM 105.5 and AM 660 The Answer. Coming to you once again from the Mercury Free Broadcasting Studios. And please don't forget, as you're rolling down the road or doing whatever you're doing right now, that my dentist, Dr. James E. Hardy, will take good care of you. And you can reach him at 407-678-3399. And don't forget to ask about his book, Mercury Free. All right. Yeah, like I said, I hope you got to see Carl Jackson strutting his stuff this morning on Fox 35. Plus, he's, once again, in the top 25 quotes, top 20 quotes by Town Hall that they've rated of last year.
Number 11,
just two behind Trump. And we knew it all along. We know Carl. He's a talented fella. All right, he's going a long way in this business. Okay, and it's an honor to work with him. All right, before we get back to business, starting next week, for 9 days, each night we'll be giving away a DVD of the movie that was just released in August called War Room. It just came out on DVD over the holidays, and it's been the number one movie sold on DVDs during the holidays. And it's what we're going to give away is an exclusive edition, and it will be a DVD Blu-ray combo pack. And once again, we'll start giving these away on Monday, and we'll do different things each day to give one away, and we'll do that for 9 days running.
Do they ever put down how much they grossed or anything?
I don't know. I do know it. It's not Star Wars numbers, but they were.
No, it was supposed to be a good movie, though.
It was highly rated, and it's a story about faith and overcoming.
Right.
And it's about a family. It seems like they got everything, but if you look under the surface, it's fallen apart.
Mm-hmm.
And then they encounter a person who brings Christ and faith first and foremost into their lives. And so War Room is the DVD, and we'll be handing those packages away, giving them away starting Monday. So you'll definitely want to get in on that.
Next Thursday's contest could be that prize?
It'll be part of the prize pack.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
so, but
big
we'll,
incentive. Big
yeah,
incentive.
But we'll do different things during the week. Who knows? We might have a trivia question, or we might just say to the next caller or the next fifth caller or something. Who knows?
But you've got to make people work, Chris. Yeah, you can't make it too easy. You know,
right.
You're getting soft.
Life,
you sound like
life
the government.
Is never let, that's
no
right.
Requirements. Just call. You get something. You don't make them work. You don't make them sweat. You know?
All right, then we'll
sounds like he's a Democrat.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, Lord.
Actually, you know what? Thank you, Aubrey.
I gotta throw that thing away.
Oh, I'm telling you, this is the kind of gift you don't leave in the room and just walk out, and with a bunch of people still in there, you might come back and no, we never saw it. Yeah. Oh no. All right.
Where's one that says, "Where's my food stamps?"
Nostradamus has created a monster.
Yeah, we could have a government one or a taxpayer one. Yeah, that's right. We should never say government food stamps. Never. It's always should be for our own taxpayer food stamp, taxpayer, rents, taxpayer. You know.
That's true.
Yeah, don't give the credit to the government. They don't do anything.
All right. Okay. Thursday, speaking of giving prizes away, Thursday, we've got another one of our contests, our weekly contest now, Thursday's contest day. We will be here Thursday, New Year's Eve. Of course, we'll be off Friday. And after New Year's Eve, I'm going to hightail it up to Cafe Positano and bring in the new year up there, and you're welcome to join us. You can give a call if you'd like to make reservations, and if you want a table, you better make a reservation. Of course, you can just come up there and hang out. That's cool, too. There'll be live entertainment, no cover charge, free champagne at midnight. The phone number for Cafe Positano is 407-774-8080, and that's the number that you can use for takeouts or a reservation at any time.
And
not
free
just New Year's
fireworks
Eve.
Is what you said yesterday?
A fireworks show, that's right.
You're just trying to bait me into coming. Free fireworks.
Free fireworks. Pasquale puts on a great fireworks. He's Italian, man. Italians know how to do fireworks.
Does he light them himself?
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, he goes shopping, and he gets and loads up the car with all kinds of different stuff. So ooh, that'll be happening on New Year's Eve. And if you miss that, but you want to go to Positano this weekend, on the 2nd, which is Saturday, our man James Hall will be down there playing the trumpet.
So, yeah, he's great.
He is excellent, and we're going to be having more and more of him as part of the show. All right, in the meantime...
Contest.
Contest rules. What we're looking for, you know, it's New Year's. It'll be New Year's Eve, so, of course...
Resolutions.
New Year's resolutions, but not for yourself. Not for some... We want it for someone else.
This has to be for someone else. It could be a new immigrant. It could be a politician. It could be a movie star. And again, we try to give guidelines because we have very creative audience, right? Very creative. And somebody's going
to
win
they
another.
They always seem to outdo us.
That's right. I mean, I had to withdraw my entry last week. But I think I got a winner right now. Okay, I'm going to read my winner. Okay. But
it's got to be the Sharpton one.
This is everybody knows what I call our poverty pimp, Al Sharpton.
Yeah.
You know, everybody knows him.
Perm man.
And you know how cool a looking guy he is.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just envisioning this. Al Sharpton's resolution is to get a crew cut so his head does not look like a pumpkin on top of a pin. He also plans to leave his $4.5 million tax debt to the inner city blacks of Chicago. Well, I mean, does this not identify this guy? What a wonderful man.
He's magnanimous. You know,
he's worked for our black community for his whole life. Wrong. Now, Chris, what is yours?
All right. If you're eating, you might want to put your forks and spoons down.
Oh, yeah. Oh, wait a second. I remember that. I shouldn't have done this to the public. Oh,
this one is for Hillary Clinton, right? She's coming across as a little bit too tough. She feels like she needs to show a little bit more of her feminine side, the side that Huma Abedin sees on a regular basis. So she's going to shuck the pantsuits for red leather hot pants and thigh-high spike-heeled leather boots, an SS helmet, a black leather vest, black gloves with spikes on the knuckles. And the intent is to obviously, you know, be more feminine, but also conjure up images of victimhood.
This sounds like a porn show to me. I don't know. I mean, it sounds like you're going off base, you know. But
Hillary Clinton is a porn show.
Okay,
the Clinton family is a porn show, for God's sake.
Is that your final answer?
It is.
Did you see the, for want of a better term, the outfit she wore in New York City the other day as she, Bill, her daughter, son-in-law, and baby was strolling around in New York?
No. Was she wearing a muumuu?
I wish it was. Because the two, I about had a cow. I mean, who dresses this woman?
Well, obviously, nobody that knows what they're doing.
Yeah, Bill didn't care. So. I'll see you later. I'll be home late tonight.
If I was Bill and I came home to something like that, I'd also probably cheat.
Well, see, this is another technique to make people feel more pity for Bill Clinton. seeing Hillary like this, right?
Have you seen that the news outlets are now saying his alleged affair with Monica Lewinsky?
You know what that is? So there was one of the reporters that used that word today, and then the outlets picked it up.
Alleged affair.
He actually called her. He goes, what do you mean alleged? Yeah, there's no alleged in here.
And by the way, Trump announced today or last night, and everywhere he goes, he does huge rallies. I'm amused that all the rest of them are going to do town hall meetings where you might have 100 or 150 people. And he's speaking to 10, 12, 15,000 people every day. There's a bit of a difference there. But he's announced that he will start spending money. He's putting up about $30 million to start running heavy television ads going into the primary season. In terms of Hillary and Chelsea just announced, now this is the ultimate, shall we say, personal sacrifice for political means, for political goals. Chelsea announced just the other day, She's expecting again, and the little baby will be born this summer. Oh,
you mean how hold on. I thought it was just a thing.
A thing?
It's not even a fetus. It's now. Well, it's just a thing. It hasn't become a fetus yet.
If it's a Clinton baby and can get Hillary elected, that is a princess right now. Right. So
I don't think the Democrats like babies.
Well,
they normally abort them.
If they can use them, they like them just fine.
I get it.
Right? Okay. As props.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. How convenient.
Yeah, but
poor Mark, he had to, you know, one for the country there. Right. Mark, by the way, Mezvinsky is Chelsea's husband.
Yeah.
The hedge fund manager.
Yeah.
Yes, that she lives in.
But Hillary's against hedge funds. $10 million
apartment. Right.
And that's real estate prices a couple of years ago. It's probably more like $12 or $13 million Park Avenue. All right. I'm sorry. Who was the caller we had? Okay. All right. 407-774-8255 is the number if you'd like to be a part of the show. Before we move on, and we're going to talk about some comments that Samuel L. Jackson made, there are some other poll numbers that I did want to touch on before we get out of here. There was a CNN poll talking about people's feeling toward a government. 75% of the country are dissatisfied with government. Now, if you break that down by party, obviously it's a lot more Republicans, it's like 90-something percent. But even with Democrats, the majority are dissatisfied with government. And a likewise number think that the country is still going in the wrong direction.
So you see how high these numbers are, Chris. And these people think that Trump has a ceiling? Because, again, I mean, think about that.
I'd say
85%?
I'd say a ceiling's probably 75%.
Yeah, I mean, it's like 75% of this.
Yeah.
I mean, this guy is on his way.
Yeah, see,
and when you get numbers like that, to me, it just confirms it. I don't know what these meatheads around Washington and New York are thinking about. There's no ceiling for this guy, and he's getting better and better and better.
And what they're also discounting is what I think I'll call the discouragement factor. In other words, Trump can win the election in a couple of ways. He can get more voters, or he can discourage the voters who would vote for Hillary. All right? All you have to have is more votes than the other
side. That's exactly right. Right? That's exactly
right. So if you discourage the other side from coming out, that's votes in your pocket.
Sorry, you got to have a whole lot more votes than the other side, because the other side has this penchant for lying, cheating, and stealing.
Well, that's why I say Trump is a different beast. All right, speaking of poll numbers, one last one before we go. Gallup did the year-end. Who is the most is it the influential person? Who is the most influential? The most admired person.
This does not speak
And this can include anybody worldwide. For women. Do you want to have the honors?
No, it makes me sick.
Wait a minute. Let me get ready. All right,
okay.
Go ahead.
Dun, 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 dun. Hillary Clinton for the 14th year in a row. I mean, but you really, what do these people think about? Now, remember, though, it was 13%.
She came in with 13%.
Right.
Yeah.
And I always wonder who the solicitor is, how he asked the question. Because, I mean, this lady is the most flawed, dishonest individual you could ever deal with, other than her husband. And you just wonder, how does she come in with
she's
these
a great
numbers?
She's a great entertainer.
Oh, please. You know, I'd rather.
The Indian girl who was shot because she was trying to get an education,
right.
Malala,
right.
She came in at second with 5. Oprah and Michelle tied at third with 4%.
That's a beauty contest.
Oh, boy.
Oprah and Michelle. Hello,
yes,
Betty.
All right. On the men's side, do you wish to have the honors?
No, I can't stomach it either. Go ahead.
It was Barack Obama at 17.
Again, Chris,
who do they ask?
Right? Who are you calling
up?
They're only
poll Democrats.
Yeah,
well,
perhaps so bogus. You know?
Perhaps what might be more interesting is that who tied for second at 5%? It was the Pope,
Right.
And?
Trump.
Donald Trump.
I believe that.
That's right. Bernie Sanders came in number four at 4%.
Most influential?
Yeah. The most admired.
Admired.
Yes.
Well, yeah.
You got to speak up to the mic. You can't sit back like that.
I did that on purpose because what I was thinking, I wasn't going to say on the air.
You got to go out in the hall.
Chris, out of all the world leaders, business people, medicine, how would you ever pick Bernie Sanders, a guy who has been nothing but a complete waste in Congress? I mean, I'm serious. You know, I'm not even kidding around about this. How could you come up with that? His economic idea is so radical. Everybody with any background knows it could never work. How could people put this guy as the fourth most admired man? I mean, the world must be coming to an end for that to happen.
Well, they might have been polling either Democrats or ISIS.
There you go. That could
maybe
be
ISIS.
That
know.
Could be it. A quick side note has nothing to do with anything other than that I'm proud of my nephews and niece. My niece came down from Atlanta this Christmas for the Christmas holiday and revealed that I didn't know that Christmas Day, my younger nephew, who's in the Army, he's in the medical corps, right, stationed in Germany right now. Right. He's on a 10-day leave sponsored by the USO,
right,
in Italy.
Right.
Guess who he spent Christmas Day with? In Italy.
Wow.
Who were we just talking
about?
Did
they take care of her and pay her way and everything? Or?
Yeah, he and his wife.
Wow.
That's a
great Christmas story.
They spent Christmas Day in the Vatican. They got to see the Pope give the Christmas Mass.
Very nice.
Compliments of the USO.
Any pictures?
Yeah.
Okay, put them up on your the screen, Facebook.
We'll have to put it on Facebook.
But that is a great story.
Just see throngs of people.
And the USO did take care of that.
Yeah. Yes, sir. Yep.
USO is a great organization.
Indeed they are. Okay, all right. Let's see. We need to take a break, don't we?
Yes, we need
to take a break. By the way,
I could sing.
Carl just texted me that the movie War Room made its money back several times over the opening week. So it made good money. Obviously not Star Wars money, but it made good money. And it is an excellent movie. Got rave reviews.
To like on I-4, we've got the answer. Traffic you can trust. Answer Traffic now.
From the Implant Solutions Today Traffic Center, we're not out of the woods on I-4 yet. Eastbound, heavy from US 27 to 535 because of earlier crashes. Then South Orange Blossom Trail up to Princeton, Lee Road to Maitland, and at the bridge is slow. Westbound, you're on the brakes, Lee Road to the Turnpike, slow Sand Lake to 535, and heavy Osceola Parkway to 429. 417 southbound, an accident before I-Drive, still causing problems. We got another accident a little farther up the road there. On the northbound side, you've got onlooker delays. I'm Mick Dolan with Answer Traffic. Traffic from the Implant Solutions Today Traffic Center.
For you there. Welcome back to the show. Old Tarantino and Samuel Jackson have teamed up again. The Hateful Eight is the new movie.
Isn't that a pleasing Christmas movie? Does that come out? I think it comes out, right, in the next week or two?
If it's not already out. Nick, can you check on that
maybe
for us,
out,
please?
But I don't think anybody's going to be watching it.
It's a Western, I believe. Is it not? I believe it's a Western. I thought I saw a trailer with horses and shoot. All right, Western, and it came out on Christmas.
Have they grossed about $50 right now? Would you say? Yeah, no. Yeah. No, the problem, like our friend Samuel L. Jackson, this is the worst statement I've ever heard.
Now, he, along with John Travolta, of course, were two of the main stars in Pulp Fiction. He's going to be one of the main, he is one of the main stars in Hateful Eight. And I don't know if it was last year or the year before, but one of the Hollywood magazines reported that he was the highest paid actor, I believe, all time.
But at least
I know it was for that year. But the guy makes really, really good money. And that, that doesn't include those commercials that he makes.
Right, right.
All right. And
tell me a recent good movie he's made. Hateful Eight? No. I think that movie's going to go down as a horrible movie.
Yeah, but what's more interesting is something that he said.
I know. He ought to change it to Hateful Nine, and you'll see why. And the reason is he came out and he stated this statement, which to me makes him the ultimate racist. I want it to be some crazy white dudes instead of a Muslim. That was his quote concerning the situation, you know, in San Bernardino and what took place. He said he was hoping when that took place, this exact statement, I want it to be some crazy white dudes instead of a Muslim. What a hateful, rotten statement. And, you know, people support his movies. And then remember in this movie, Tarantino, the other guy who was turns on our police. What a neat combination having these two together.
Right.
You know, I'll make sure I get out to the movie in the next couple of days.
What you want to bet, and I haven't seen the movie, and I don't intend to see it.
I bet it stinks.
Well, I bet it's got a lot of graphic violence in it as well.
Yeah. It would have.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing? These are staunch Democrats, you know, gun control people, and then look at their movies.
Right.
And, you know, Tarantino's movies are as violent as you can get.
Yeah.
And that's, oh, boy.
Yeah.
You know, hypocrites, you know.
And
well, what's Hillary? They support
and what they put out with these products, it does make a difference.
It does make it. I think they're as responsible for murders in the streets and anything else. I think, personally, they're a lot more responsible than guns.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
Well, and now that's where I was going to lead to. I think when it comes to that, for instance, this 12-year-old kid, the 12-year-old kid that was killed.
With the toy gun.
Cleveland, right. He was playing with a toy gun. But why was he playing with a toy gun?
Because he watched TV shows or goes to the movies.
It was cool.
And
it had been made cool to him, right?
And he's a victim of the Obama, you know, gun control.
Right. Yeah. And by the way, it was a very sad thing, and there was a lot of bad mistakes made.
That is a sad story.
But the kid didn't look like a 12-year-old.
I heard he was like 6 foot, 185 pounds.
He was actually about 5'7", 5'8". He weighed more than I did.
He weighs 130, about 132.
Thank you very much. He weighed about 170, 180 pounds.
Yeah.
He looked every bit like an adult.
Mm-hmm.
And the police didn't know what they were walking into.
Professional wrestling at its finest. The American Adversaries.
All right, we're back for the last half hour of tonight's show. Baylor is ahead of North Carolina. What'd you say the score was?
14-7.
Look out.
Now, I'm going to go out on a limb. I think North Carolina is going to win. You can harass me tomorrow if I'm wrong. I think they got a better defense. Baylor is one of these teams that can score, but they can't stop. So,
all right.
I'm sure it's a great game. So
all
we'll
right.
see.
That's going on downtown right now, and hopefully there are some of you in the audience watching that game, and you got us and you got the earbuds, and you're listening to us while you're watching the game live. In the meantime, if you would like to be a part of our show, you can give us a call at 407-774-8255. I am, of course, Christopher Hart, along with the chairman of the board, Mike McBath. We also have Aubrey Kahn, who is the host of Talk to the Experts, and that show airs live
Saturday,
usually live
until 3.
Yeah, and so it wasn't live last Saturday, but it's almost always live.
Almost always.
Chris, I got one quick question on the football side. Is, you know, we were talking about that movie Concussion. I still haven't found anybody that is going to it.
Why would you pay money?
I'm thinking if it's not your concussion, I mean, it'd be like me walking into a doctor's office and just describe what's wrong with my wrist. Like, oh, who cares?
I know.
I mean, that one, I hope they didn't put a lot of money into that one. That's not going to be a good partnership for somebody.
We don't want to know how you injured your wrist either.
No.
All right, let's. We were talking about Samuel L. Jackson's comments before the break, how he said he wished that it would have been some crazy white guys rather than Muslims who killed the people
in
San Bernardino.
And you know the ads that he's in on TV. Now, you would think there would be, right, a washback and going like, Samuel, kick him off the ads. The guy's a bum. The guy's a racist. Well, that's exactly what they do if that were a conservative made that statement. This is a terrible statement.
It certainly
Why is.
Why
is he exempt?
It certainly is insensitive. I'm not quite sure what he was meaning by that. I don't know what the purpose of what that would accomplish, but maybe some of our callers know. And by the way, Tamir Rice is the 12-year-old kid who was shot and killed tragically in Cleveland. Al, you're up first. Thank you for calling tonight.
Yes, sir. First of all, I wanted to say a couple of things to begin with. The Bernie Sanders record, if you check it out, I mean, he's a pretty effective senator for Vermont. I mean, he's saved the state a bunch of money. The state leans to the right, and he gets, you know, 86% of the vote.
You want to know? Time. You want to know one of the main reasons why? Is he's been, at least up till now, pretty much pro gun rights.
I know, and so right. This guy is not the traditional.
You're right.
Democrat, and actually, he's an independent right now because that's what he's registered as.
You're correct, and that may cause him some problems in the primary. But you're right. I cannot disagree with you there.
Now, could he go independent, Chris?
I'm sorry?
Could he go independent?
He already is independent. He is independent.
But I mean, okay.
Yeah,
but,
he could run as an independent party candidate.
I mean, walk on Hill where you say, I cross the line and let me vote.
He could do that.
He could mess that up.
He could theoretically do that, yes.
All right, he'll pull four votes.
Well, maybe four.
I don't know.
I think, you know, a little here, a little there, yeah, and Hillary has a much bigger problem.
He's benefiting as well. History is kind of on his side, like I've been saying about Trump.
Yeah.
You know, he's at the right place at the right time.
Oh, he is. He's doing unbelievable. Great, yeah. Considering what he lays out there.
Exactly. Anyway, go ahead, Al. I know you're still there.
And then my second point is that to think that the kid was inspired by Quentin Tarantino to play with guns is absolutely ridiculous because we all, as kids, played the cops and robbers or whatever, and we all had some kind of toy gun or whatever. So,
if I intimated that I was blaming it on Tarantino and him making these movies, I went
they're
too
just
far.
Contributors,
what I was saying
all.
is this is what you're saying is
right.
You know, it's, you know, kids do what they see, they imitate. We're imitation artists. And I know as a kid, you know, I wanted the Western guns because that's what I saw on TV. Mm-hmm. And I wanted the hat and the vest and everything. And we just need to be more sensitive to that and know that all of these things come into play. It's like, and once again, I go back to this movie by Spike Lee called Chi-Raq, where he says there's more than just the cops. Okay, the cops, they're a part of the problem. But it, at the end of the day, is a smaller part of the problem than the bigger issues that are going on inside the hood, and nobody's paying any attention to those. And that's why he did the movie. So, but Al, you make some good points, as always.
All right.
Thanks for calling. We appreciate you being out there. Craig, you are up next, sir. Thank you for calling and holding.
Hey, you guys. Yeah, the headlines across the world are kind of incredible. The Seymour Hersh Pulitzer Prize-winning guy, he did a story that's being totally ignored about Obama is actually the architect of ISIS. And the insiders in the Pentagon, well, actually, there's many people in the Pentagon that had revolted against him. And I'm sure part of that was part of the purge that he's done recently.
Yeah.
And then I figured out why one other reason why Donald Trump is absolutely despised by the establishment. And that's because he's not he looks at Putin as a realistic person where, you know, Assad, the chemical weapons that Assad was blamed for, those were either Saudi Arabians or even our BX gas or whatever gas it was.
And stuff that had been shipped there out of Iraq.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
And then as far as the Georgia thing with Russia that supposedly started all this of Putin.
Yeah, several years ago.
Most of that was made up. And so anyway, Putin's not this murderer that I even heard it on Sunday talk shows that Putin is this murderer and Trump's going to pair up with him. So anyway,
my point is
that the only way that America beats ISIS, and the Democrats know this, is if we team up with Russia.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's the one and only way that we can put the Islamics, the jihadists, at bay and get them to stop fighting so hard.
Right. You're absolutely right. You know, all the liberals keep saying, and a lot of Republicans say this too, oh, we need to be siding with the Muslim countries and they'll help us fight. And they have to be the troops on the ground to do this. That ain't going to happen.
Right.
Now, the troops that will be on the ground will be Russian and American and perhaps British and French, but it won't be Saudi Arabian. I guarantee you that.
Oh, exactly. They're a double crosser.
Yep.
In fact, the Islamic religion could be well defined as the religion that you lie to your enemy when it gives you an advantage.
Yeah, that's right. And you treat them nice as long as that benefits you, and then you stick them in the back when the time is right.
Iran.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and by the way, there have been some stories about Obama starting ISIS. Certainly, his decision to pull out of Iraq, he was either completely stupid or he knew that there would be dire consequences because everybody that was in the know was telling him. So I don't know if, you know, I can't sit here and say that, yeah, he was directly, you know, pulling the strings. But certainly his decisions led to the creation of ISIS. There's right. No question about that. Craig?
That's why I say to the Congress to declare war on the Islamic State.
Yep, should have done it a long time.
ISIS.
Yep, should have done it a long time ago. You're absolutely right. All right, thank you, Craig. Appreciate you being out there as well. We have another caller on the line. Rick is up next. Rick, thank you for calling.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Rick.
Two things. Number one, you said Chelsea's pregnant. Has anybody figured out who the father is yet?
No, I know. I was waiting for somebody to say that. I didn't want to walk in that area.
That poor guy married her. I mean, was he supposed to follow through? Okay. And the second thing, you're worried about Hillary and Obama being the most admired. Well, let's break it down. Admired. What is an ad? It's a short, deceptive message. What is mired? It's bogged down in muck. So, yes, I can see why they would be admired.
Mired. I got you.
I'll tell you, he's going to be a killer in all these contests.
I'll tell you,
I don't know if there's enough prizes for him.
All right. Thank you, Rick. Appreciate you calling
out there
as well. Thanks for being
out
there.
See how he breaks it down and makes it very simple?
Sure enough.
He could be Trump's campaign manager.
Sure enough. All right, real quickly, while we have some time left in this segment, the White House has announced that they will be releasing here in the next week or so another 17 detainees from Club Gitmo down there in Guantanamo Bay. That'll bring the total down to 90 that will be left, and about 60 of them are quote-unquote eligible to be released, which would leave the remaining 30 or so that supposedly they cannot allow these to be released.
Wasn't that in the omnibus bill that they were not allowed anymore to release them?
Well, so since when does Barack Obama give a damn about...
Oh, that's what I'm saying is, I mean,
right?
It's in the bill,
and they just do
what they want to do.
Since when does the leadership in Congress give a damn when Barack Obama walks all over
them? For this now?
Right, yeah. Right. And by the way, I heard on a show this morning that as part of that omnibus bill, they gave St. Pauli Girl Ryan, Mitch McConnell, and all the rest gave the IRS additional powers to come after you for money that you owe them. And the additional power is they can confiscate your passport, which are becoming more and more crucial to travel.
For you to move worldwide.
Not just in and out of the country, but even now within the country. Right?
To get on the plane.
If you don't have one of those driver's licenses with the little star on it, which I don't, you have to have a passport to go to get transportation in some states. In other words, if I were to go into a state that doesn't use those, or I don't have one, I would have to use a passport to get a domestic air flight.
This is going to
cause... Lucky for them, I hate to fly. So.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
But, by the way, there were some 600... about 650, I think it is, detainees who have been already released from Gitmo, from the peak.
One out of three has joined the fight against us again.
One out of three, 196 of the little over 600, has been either confirmed to have rejoined the fight or suspected to because they have been lost track of. Don't know where they are or what they're doing. So you have to presume they're up to no good.
Well, maybe they're coming back because we're vetting them so well. When they come back as refugees.
Maybe they got a sex change operation. I don't know. Maybe anything. But the point is, one out of three are either back in the battle against us or most likely are.
Right.
Or preparing to be.
Hey, can you imagine, though, if they actually came through as a Syrian
Why?
Come on, this would be
what's so difficult to imagine?
To sneak, I know, they to sneak got back papers. Into the country.
Yeah, they just come right back in and then do what they have to do.
Don't
right.
give them any ideas. Right. I wouldn't put it past, and I wouldn't put it past this administration to.
They probably have a whole passport for them to let them go and everything. You guys can travel. Good luck, and then we'll see them.
See, right. this is the point. I'm almost not as worried about the ones we know are back in the action right. as the ones we don't know where the hell they are.
Well, I was listening to the radio this morning, and they were saying that the whole idea that we're not allowing him to close Club Gitmo, what he's going to do is he's going to get rid of all the people that are there and then turn around and say, look, this is an empty building. It's costing us too much money.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to have to close it down.
He's going to give Guantanamo Bay back to the Cubans.
Right.
Yeah, I've been saying this since the last year's election. The day after the election, I predicted all of this. When Barack Obama came out and he was acting all defiant, mm-hmm. acting like he'd actually just won. I mean, he just took one of the worst beatings in a midterm election in history. But when you really think about it, what has he got to lose now? Mm-hmm. Nothing. And that was his attitude. And I saw it and I said, by the way, he's going to close Gitmo. You mark my words. He's going to close Gitmo, and then he will give Guantanamo Bay back to the Cubans. So I don't always get it right, but I guarantee you that one.
And you don't think it'll be a Trump resort, a golf resort, or anything in the future?
Well, if Trump doesn't win the presidency, the Cubans would be smart to recruit
him and then just
to build that
build
into
it, right.
a resort down there.
Nice golf course,
because
beaches.
It is a resort setting. Mm-hmm. I mean, here we're calling this a prison. I tell you what, if I were to be doing time, that's where I'd want to be doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, Chris, did you see today Trump's daughter, they had her, you know, is it Ivanka?
Ivanka.
Yeah. She was mentioning she might be interested very soon to get into politics.
Hey.
I'm sort of interested in being campaign manager for that.
She is one smart cookie.
She really is. And I think she'd probably do very well.
I tell you what, she's got it all.
And she's going to get certainly a lot of experience over the next 9, 10, 12 months, you know. So.
Yeah, absolutely.
We'll see. That'll be interesting.
Yep. Okay. All right. We got to take one more break for tonight. When we come back, we got another segment of the show. You still have time to be a part of it at 407-774-8255. And don't forget, starting Monday and for 9 days running, we're going to give away each night a DVD set of War Room, the fantastic new faith-based movie. And I'm sure you're going to want to see it if you haven't already. See it again if you have. So put that on your calendar. Starting Monday, 9 days of running.
Is your financial future uncertain?
Right, welcome back to the show, folks. That's right. You got the American Adversaries Drive Time Primetime Show coming to you live once again on FM 105.5 and AM 660, The Answer. And don't forget, Thursday, we will be here for New Year's Eve. And you're welcome to join us and some of our other listeners up at Cafe Positano to bring in New Year's. After the show, of course, we'll be heading up there about 9 o'clock. Got a 9 o'clock reservation. And you can make a reservation, too. If you want to get a table, you better make a reservation for New Year's Eve. And, of course, you can use this number for takeout orders. You can use this to make reservations anytime. This is the number for Cafe Positano. And, by the way, they will have entertainment that night, free champers at midnight, and fireworks show, compliments of Pasquale. And their phone number is 407-774-8080. 407-774-8080. That's Cafe Positano, located 4 miles west of I-4 on State Road 436. Just down the street from the station, the studio complex here.
You know, Chris, when you buy a drink, do they tell you calories like they do when you buy food? You know, like when I'm drinking a martini, they'll say, okay, Mr. Macbeth, that's 196 calories.
Not yet. That's coming, I'm sure, though.
Yeah, because I've been studying this.
You know?
Actually, on New Year's Eve, I would stick with champagne. It's 86 calories a glass for 4 ounces. right? So that means I could drink two glasses versus just one martini.
That's so you get all bloated.
If I go to a rum and coke, that's 96, so I could do two rum and cokes.
Yeah, but that's got to be sugar-free coke.
I know, diet-free coke, but we got to weigh all these alternatives. This is a very important evening approaching us, so you know you got to look at the whole picture.
I'm glad you're putting some analytical thought
into this. No malt liquor, huh?
Oh, yeah. I'm weighing everything.
All right. Last night when we were having our weekly discussion with Abe Katzman from Jerusalem, Mike brought up the point that the Saudi Arabians, in their generosity,
they're going to build 400 mosques in Germany
alone.
Now, I wonder, is that going to be like a health club, or what are they planning to do?
One on every corner.
Yeah, I mean, in all seriousness, I mean, you know how bad that is.
This is to accommodate these
refugees.
Already 800,000, going on a million refugees from the Middle East, because obviously they didn't go to Germany to be Germans.
Right.
They didn't go to Germany to be Europeans. They went to Germany to be Muslims in Germany and to make Europe and Germany Muslim countries.
Now,
and Saudi Arabia is only too happy to oblige by paying for the mosques, which, by the way, they have paid for many a mosque in this country and are still doing so.
Do you think anybody has the numbers on how many mosques they've built in this country that they have paid for? I don't think our government would release it. I think, honestly, it would just drive people up the wall.
It's a good question. I don't know. I have not seen such numbers.
We might have to go undercover, Chris.
Oh?
You know, we're going to have to go to some alias names. I mean, I might just stop by some of these mosques just to see what's going on. I think I'm going to have to have it, because you're going to say, sir, you got to sign it, you know, like when you're going to church or something.
So who are you going to be?
I think I'm going to go as Heidi Salami. And I think you can go as I've been 14. We need some alias names, because it may come down that Americans are going to have to maybe stop by draw their own conclusion of what's taking place, because I don't think the government's going to help America. So.
I can see a contest down the road.
Oh,
on that
boy.
That's our contest.
Well, actually, your real name, and I'm sorry, you're Abdul the Tool. You know what I mean? Because of your sexual prowess. You know, so that's right. Abdul the Tool.
That was in a prior existence. Yes,
Heidi Salami.
Yeah, that was when I was desperate for some money in college, right?
That's exactly right. You are a swinging guy.
Speaking of such matters, you know, the nice thing, maybe we've been too hasty. Because, what's that? Okay, Aubrey's got
something. I don't have the exact numbers, but.
Oh, good. Research.
80% of major mosques in America are under Saudi Wahhabi influence.
Wahhabi.
According to the, and they don't say who, but apparently the religion, or they study found that religion as a driving ideology for terrorism has jumped accordingly.
Yeah. By the way, the Wahhabi sect of the Saudi culture over there are known as warrior types, the warrior class. They're very, to use a Star Trek analogy, they would be the Klingons, who like to fight. Even if they're not fighting an enemy, they'll fight each other just for the pleasure and the sake of fighting.
Chris, I'm telling you, every American may have to go with aliases, and we may have to have a naming contest down the road.
I'm telling you, that's down the road, though, because Thursday is going to be resolution contest.
And you already have your name, Abdul the Tool. I don't think there'll be a better name.
And the Saudi prince, what's his name?
Walib,
yeah. Oh. He has pledged $32 billion, with a B, dollars to promote Islam and Sharia in the United States.
Oh, thank you. What generosity. What generosity that man has.
Well, when the 12 signs go up here, are they up any of the signs around Orlando? Have you seen any?
There was one down by Dr. Phillips. They're supposed to have already been up. They may have actually come down by now. They were only supposed to be up about a month or so, I think.
Did you see, too, some guy...
But you can look for more of them with this kind of money.
Some guy wrapped bacon around, like, the handle of one of the mosques.
Oh, yeah,
and they all
outcry.
Got upset, and it's a huge hate crime, right?
Right.
Well, what's the difference between that and those people rolling heads up onto the sidewalk? What, are you kidding me? That's a hate crime?
Well,
it's child's play.
Beheading is not a hate crime.
If it's done in a mosque.
Because it's merciful.
Yes, you're right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. By the way, as I was getting ready to say, you know, maybe we've been too harsh on the Islamic State because they're concerned that the people who follow their ideology might be doing things wrong out there. So they put out manuals on how to do things.
Very good.
They're very compassionate.
Right, yes. Matter of fact, they put out manuals on how to...
Like a holiday manual?
Well, they put out manuals on how to blend in a Western culture, for instance, so nobody will know really who you are or what you're up to.
Right.
Now, for the fighters themselves who are over there fighting and get the spoils of war, they've come out with a new manual for them. And Aubrey has an expert.
Aubrey's our correspondent in that area. Yes. He covers that area real well.
Oh, I do?
Yes.
I'm not a Clinton.
So this manual is on?
It's a rape handbook.
In other words, this is they spell out the proper way for the Islamic warrior to rape women.
There are 15 new rules that have been revealed.
Now, we can't go through them all, but let's just have one and try not to be too explicit.
Too graphic,
here.
No.
Yeah.
All right. Number 5, if the owner of a female captive who has a daughter suitable for intercourse has sexual relations with the latter, he's not permitted to have intercourse with her mother, and she is permanently off limits to him. Should he, of course, have intercourse with the mother, then he's not permitted to have intercourse with the daughter, and she is off limits to him.
You know, Chris, this is like a directions handbook. Like, how do I get to Apopka?
Like, what it is this?
That's what
I'm saying.
Are you kidding me?
It's
are these
manual.
People nuts?
It's a how-to manual.
Yeah.
You know, one of the how-to books. They put out their own how-to books. And these are the subjects that they how-to about.
Ten Commandments
and
of
and
rape,
by the way,
I guess
they have a similar one for sisters.
Yes.
Where you can rape the one, but you can't rape the other, unless you sell the one that you raped, then you can go ahead and rape the other one, too.
Right. That's rule number 6.
Yes. So, you know, they don't leave anything to chance. They don't want anybody screwing up or making any mistakes, and I suppose that's admirable.
You know what?
It shows compassion.
Well, but it shows organization.
But in all seriousness, you need to get a handbook off the Clinton right away, Bill. You know, because he might be he does travel a lot, right?
I'm sure they probably took notes out of his handbook for this one, right?
No, it's probably
he was around a long time before them pulling this mess off.
They might have hired him as a consultant.
Yeah, well, I checked the footnotes on the document. Oh, boy. Right.
And by the way, do you know what they use as a source for the manual?
Don't tell me.
The Quran.
Well, it's a peaceful book, from my understanding.
Well, and a peaceful and tolerant religion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
As long as you don't mind being raped if you're a woman or maybe even a small boy.
Well, Abdul the Tool, we're getting near the end, don't you think?
All right. Well, we hate to leave on a note like that, but
let's think
joyous thoughts. Next week, we're going to be giving away War Room DVDs all week long, actually for 9 days running. So put that on your calendar. And Thursday, of course, we're going to be doing our New Year's resolution contest.
And the Obama toilet paper.
Is part of the prize. That's right. And a $20 gift certificate to Cafe Positano's. Compliments of Jerry and Janice Shepherd of Jerry's MB. If you got a Mercedes-Benz, Jerry's is the place to be. Tomorrow night, we'll be here, and that'll be the place to be, too.
All right. We'll see you then.
Night, everybody.
Night, everyone.